All right. What a joy. I know that I am to share this morning for a number of reasons, and it's really an equipping time. It's a multiplying equipping time. I'm honored with everyone that's here. I'm honored anyone that's watching or that will watch this. And you let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in and through you, all right? Whether you're live right now or you're watching this later. And really, for this equipping time, could you all actually move in now? Shelley asked that earlier, but could you all, this is kind of like, I feel like I'm by the Sea of Galilee or something. I'm not Jesus, but Jesus is in me. So, and I'd stand on a boat, and it's a time of very honored, esteemed people that you are, and the leadership of this fellowship, most of whom are traveling today, and it's a time of honor and equipping to you. It's a real joy. It's quite a joy. I know that I am to speak what I am to speak this morning. So later on, I'm even going to give you a piece of paper. I'm not going to do that right now. I've got a few stories. The first story is, do you remember Christmas weekend this 3 months ago? Do you remember that weekend? Can you think back? What was going on that weekend? It was the big snowstorm of the winter. We had a little mini version of it last night and this morning, just to remind us of it. So here's my story in the midst of that. LifeSpring had wonderfully planned a very dynamic Thursday evening celebration of Jesus and his coming among us and his filling us. And you were going to lead worship, right, Patty? And Fernando and Judy were going to lead. Judy had a word that she was going to share. And then they got word. But they needed to be in Virginia by Saturday or Friday night or Saturday at the latest. They got word that this was not a normal storm that was coming. And if they didn't leave earlier, they probably weren't going to get there until Monday or Tuesday. And they were right. Actually, Goshen got snowed in, remember? So in the middle of that week, grasping that, Fernando called me and said, it's kind of unusual, but would you pray, would you have a short word for the congregation on Thursday evening in the place of Judy? And he told me some of what was going to be happening that evening. And I prayed about it. Actually, I didn't answer him right away. I prayed about it a part of that day, and then I texted him back and said, yes, I do feel, go ahead on that. And on Wednesday morning of that Christmas week, I went up in my office overlooking the open air there, the sky. Some of you haven't seen where I functioned the last 3 years, but it's quite inspiring. And I thought, well, I'm just going to listen to the Lord and take the whole morning to see what I should share for these 10 minutes. And you know, it took me about 15 minutes, and I was done. I knew what I was to share. As the Lord seemed to give me a really clear word for this fellowship, not only for that evening, but for the year ahead and for the years ahead. I wrote down, my heart's filled with joy at what is and what is to come, and I want you to listen, and it starts with a song which goes like this, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called. Yeah, join me, Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us, his name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. Did you hear that? Now, a few weeks or a few months later, I talked to Patty one time and she said, I was going to lead that song that evening. which I wasn't really surprised to hear, but I didn't know that. So, joy, first of all, for all of you. Some of you have known me for a while and you know how deeply I feel that about this local fellowship. For all of you, what Emmanuel is doing in each of you. And secondly, I want to say deep joy for this wonderful team of leaders. I could get pretty emotional about that. I'd love to see leaders raised up. This is a wonderful team of leaders in this fellowship, imparting life, imparting real quality. You know, there's a lot of fluff in North American religion. And I'm not going to say anything more than that sentence, but what's happening here is quality in the Lord. There's a real anointing of the Holy Spirit functioning through Fernando and Judy, brothers and sisters, and the elders team with them. Honor to all of you. Just two of the elders are sitting here right now. Kevin's downstairs, others are traveling on this particular weekend. And what's happening here is quality. And I say you let it keep happening in you. You let it keep happening in you. It will be very fruitful. Now this song, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. Did you hear that? It's biblical. It's as soundly, solidly biblical as any phrase you could ever hear. We know that Emmanuel is God with us. But did you stop and think recently about the biblical reality that the whole plan is revealed in us? Revealed in us? In us? Not out there somewhere in some glorious person that you read about 150 years ago. Anyone that's open, it's revealed in us. So I told Fernando, I said, this message that I'm going to pour out this morning, I'm calling it Christmas in March. So he did write that up. Some of you that read email saw that. But it's really not just Christmas in March, folks. It's Christmas in April and in May and in June and in July and in August and September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, next year. If you're getting it, and this is a quality circle of people here this morning. It's an equipping time. And so, by all means, by God's grace, by God's power, get it. Now, that evening, Connie helped me with this a little bit. Now, really bear in with me and what's on my heart. That evening, the team had prepared these Christmas ornaments. Remember that? Some of you got one of those? I just have three of them here. Jesus Christ, all the names of the Lord, Emmanuel, light of the world, and I believe you're going to, you're going to hand them out, right? Weren't you going to hand them out, Connie? To everybody that, and then you did a couple weeks later on the first Sunday in January. But that evening, you were going to hand it out. And I asked Connie for a list. Here's the list. Listen to this. There were 15 of them that were being handed out. Light of the world. Jesus Christ. These are names of the Lord. Mighty God. The Word. The Truth. Jehovah. As in Yahweh. I am that I am. Messiah. Only begotten. Lord of Lords. Prince of Peace. The Good Shepherd. Mediator, everlasting Father, King of Kings, the Lamb of God, Light of the World. And the word to you for that evening and for this day and for this year and for this decade. You heard those names. Now listen, all of this is poured into you. All of this is poured into you. Into you. I know you. I know. All who have responded, all who have humbled themselves and repented and received his forgiving grace and welcomed his Spirit, all of this is poured into you. It's really very simple. You could look at this or you can just listen. It's been the plan from ages past, dear brothers and sisters. It's been the plan from ages past. Colossians 1. That is the mystery which was hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been opened up and manifested to you, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among all peoples, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, that was the plan. This redemption, this Emmanuel was to come in us. And don't think less than that, all right? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In you. So all through the Old Testament. All through the Old Testament, the plan, preparing for the new covenant, it's going to be in you. It's going to be in you. And in Jeremiah 31, it said, the law was given, and you've tried hard, but the day is coming. I will put my law by my Spirit within you. It will be inside you. You get to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, fascinating. It says, in that day, the new covenant, I will give you a new heart, and I put a new spirit, where? Within you. That's right, in you. I'll put my spirit within you, and you'll be able to live in my ways. And you get to Joel 2, and it says that in that day, I'll pour out my spirit, where? Within you. And on the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the male and the female. And you get to Acts 2, and Peter stands up and says, this is that. The day has come. It's in you now, all that you that are responding. This is that. So look at another place, John 14. How is this exactly going to be in you? John 14, that is, Jesus said, the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of truth, whom the world at the present time can't receive because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be, what? In you. The Spirit. You're responding to me. You're humble. You're open. And this Spirit who is now with you will be where? Say it again. Where? In you. The Spirit will be in you. Let's see that is now not in the future tense, but fully in the present tense. For all who've responded to him on that culmination day in Acts 2, Peter said, so they said, well, what do we need to do to get right? And he said, repent, humble yourself and turn from sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where will the Holy Spirit be then? In you. You got it. He repeated it many times. Peter said it again in Acts 5. The Holy Spirit, whom he has given to all who respond humbly to him. And you get to Ephesians 3. It says that you'll be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit in your inner being so that Christ will fully function in you. In you. Be strengthened with power by his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ will fully function in you. And you get to 1 Corinthians 3. It says, don't you know that you're now a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives where? In you. You got it. Okay. And listen to this, 1 John 3. When a people that are humble and open and real, which is a mark of this fellowship, when people are humble and open and real, you, brothers and sisters, can start to have confidence, not in yourself. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our adequacy is not of ourselves, but he's made us adequate of this new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit who is within us. And there's a confidence. And so in 1 John, at the end of chapter 3, it says, we have this confidence. We know by this that he, that is the Lord, abides in us. You get that? I'm in 1 John 3:24. That he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us, capital S. We know that he abides in us. This was the simple plan and now is activated. You know this. I mean, I know this wonderful circle of people and all that are represented in this circle. You know this. It's been very well taught, actually, many times by this wonderful team. And I'm here to reaffirm it. And my point is, on this Christmas in March, which is really Christmas in April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, don't forget that, all right, is to say, now is the time, let this sink in, all right? Do you hear me? Let this sink in. Adjust your soul to fully welcome all that is within you. It's very likely that as regarding what can happen in you and through you, that you've been thinking too small. So I'm going to spur you on a little bit with a couple current stories. I have a very dear brother in Ohio that I have walked with for now over 30 years. And we meet for prayer twice a month. And he is pastoring a fellowship very much like this, Western Ohio, where the Holy Spirit is free to function in power. So just recently, he told me in their fellowship, a newer woman among them in her 60s, a married woman, who just came to the Lord in her later years, in her midlife, and got redeemed and filled with the Spirit. This woman was out shopping with her adult daughter, and they were spending half the day together, and the adult daughter at one point looked at her and said, "What's happened to you, Mom? You are so different. You're full of light. There's joy. There's life." And the mom said, "Do you really want to know?" And she said, "Yes, I want to know. I'm not doing that well right now." And what happened was this mom, she just pulled her aside into a quiet place in this megastore wherever they were and said, "If you'll just humbly turn and open yourself and ask Jesus to forgive you and fill you with his Spirit, he'll do that." And the daughter said, "Can I do that?" She said, "Yes." And she did. And the mom went into the restroom then and called my brother friend, the pastor, and said, "I think I made a mistake. I should have brought her to church and had you help her get saved." "No," Neil said, "no, you didn't make a mistake at all. Keep on going. It's exactly right." You got it? And so the woman went home and told this to her husband, who also had not been doing well, and he received the Lord. And their daughter, the granddaughter. So just to point out, right here in recent weeks, Fernando's more than once talked about healing prayer. As a matter of fact, he said, I probably have not been, because of the way the Holy Spirit works through people that are open, like Judy and me, I probably have not been paying enough attention to this. But recently, there's this young fellow who couldn't keep going because something was wrong with his legs. So we prayed for him, and lo and behold, the next morning, he was fine. You know that story? Remember that story? And then they were in a shoe store. And he knew that he was to pray for this clerk that could hardly function because she had a splitting headache. And so in the Holy Spirit, in love, he prayed for her. He asked if it was all right. And she got better. Isn't that wonderful? This is normal functioning in the Holy Spirit. This is just getting into normal, you see. You told a story just a month or so ago about Carol and something wrong. And you and Jim prayed for her and the leg got restored and grew out so that the back was significantly better. That's wonderful, isn't it? It's normal functioning of the Holy Spirit who is within us. One more story from my brother. He said just recently, a woman came across, they came across the paths, or a woman came across their paths, and the marriage was ending, and she was deeply involved in Wicca. You don't need to know about that, but if you've heard of it, you have an idea. It's demonic. And she had been into it for a number of years, and things were going from bad to worse. And her relationships were all breaking down, and her family was breaking up. And she had come to a point of humility and brokenness. And they had a time of ministry with her welcoming it, and she got set free from demonic spirits and got full of life. And as a result, her husband, and who else? I wrote it down here. Then her mother, and then a 12-year-old son or daughter, and other people in the fellowship started ministering to this breakthrough family. Normal walking in the Spirit. I'll just say, this will be vague, but you'll get it. Right now, there are teams in one of the most difficult stronghold areas of the world for the redemption of Jesus and the gospel to break through that have held out for centuries. And breakthrough of waters and the power of the Holy Spirit is happening right now. 10 years ago, there were 37 of these people groups that did not have a breakthrough of Christian presence among them. And one after another, there are at least 25 different, unique, separate, Holy Spirit-guided stories. And that number of 37 is down to 12, including 4 in the last 12 months. And I write prayer updates for a large international network that is functioning together in prayer and walking in the Spirit, and prayer and walking in the Spirit and cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And the breakthroughs are happening. Alice and I were reading in 2 Samuel 5 where David said, and he celebrated, "The Lord has given me a breakthrough of waters against the strongholds of the enemy." It's like that in the Holy Spirit, except more so now because we're in the new covenant. You understand what I'm saying. Anybody that's online that watches this, it's in code. The compassion of the Savior breaking out in power as people cooperate with the Holy Spirit that is within them. So this all applies to you. Did you hear what I just said? This all applies to you. This all applies to you. Each of you are along these rows. This all applies to you. And anyone that you pass it on to, let it soak in. Let confidence soak in. Let faith soak in. I don't know what may happen in you or through you in the next year, but I say again, don't think small, because he is big And where have you welcomed him to be? Where? Where? In us. Thank you, Steve. In you. Don't think small. He is big. Keep welcoming. Keep cooperating. Now, join me again. We're going to do one other thing here. We're going to do a little application here that you can take with you. But just let this soak in. I hope this song so much rings in your ears that you can't get it out of your brain, okay? Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. Hold it a minute. Revealed in us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. All right. I'm going to take, we're good. I'm going to take 10 minutes or so and put some very practical application down. Can we do several things? Austin, you are strong enough. Could you go and bring that board that I've already written on and bring it and set it right here, facing out, okay? Because I want you to get this. A couple of you, give everybody a blue piece of paper over here. And if anybody needs a pen, okay, this is equipping, folks. You got tremendous potential. Carry these around. If anybody needs a pen, take a pen. And I've got all sorts of things up my sleeve here in this glorious morning. All right. I had a 3-day. Okay, look at this with your blue paper and your pen. If you would like, so you don't forget, here's these are the ones that I poured out of my heart here. Look at these 9. It would be good to write them down. Let them soak into you some more. Don't think small. I said, now is the time. Let this sink in. Adjust your soul to fully welcome this that is within you. So, over here, we're going to make a little list, and if you want to, you can add to it on your own. I did a 3-day equipping, refreshing time with key frontline people internationally a year ago, and we spent 3 days on this, and it's happening through them into some of the toughest strongholds anywhere in the world. It's been the most difficult, the worst of all times in that region of the world, and paradoxically the best of all times at the same time, because people are cooperating with the Holy Spirit in the midst of the darkness, and Holy Spirit breakthroughs are happening. So this is what we're going to do over here. The simple point is, he, that is the Lord, that is the Holy Spirit, is actively working. And since the Holy Spirit is in you, your calling is to notice and cooperate. And here, I just put in green, at least 50 times in the book of Acts, it talks about how the Holy Spirit was doing thus and so, and people noticed and cooperated. And people noticed and cooperated. And you know what? Powerful things happen and fruitful breakthroughs happened. Sometimes in the midst of suffering, it's not all easy. You get to the end of Acts 13, for example, and they had just been battered and mistreated in one whole region of Asia Minor. And it says they strengthened themselves in the Lord, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. And they went on, and things got even more fruitful after that. It's not that it's always easy, brothers and sisters. But But adjust your soul to live with what is within you. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 3:16, that your temple, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in you? Ephesians 5:18, so don't be getting drunk with wine and distracted and dissipated, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Live in your full normal. Ephesians 3:16, be strengthened with power by his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ is free to fully function within you and get into full normal, which is happening here, and it's going to happen even more. All right, I just want to make a little list here. There's all kinds of directions we could go. There's all kinds of directions you can go with this after this short equipping time this morning. But I would say foundationally, basically, what is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit doing? How does the Holy Spirit work in and through you? Let's just put some things down here so that you can increasingly notice more and more and cooperate. Notice and cooperate. Now, I'm just going to give us the start here. Again, you know this, but don't miss it. Fruit grows. Fruit grows. What the fruit of the Holy Spirit grows. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Can somebody give it to me in about 7 seconds? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, what do we got inside you that's growing? Okay, you got it. I think you know it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit grows. Cooperate. You knew it. There's a lot more that could be said about that. The normal working of the Holy Spirit gifts flow as needed for the common good, for what the Holy Spirit is doing. The nine that are named very simply and clearly, I'll just list them here in 1 Corinthians 12, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healing, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Be open, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is powerful and works to the need of the moment. I'll just say for myself, these nine, all of them at one time or another have functioned and flowed through me normally as I was loving and in a place of pouring myself out in the Holy Spirit to somebody in need. Some of them are not in my primary realm of ministry giftings and callings, but they function anyway sometimes. And then for some people, they function even more because they are. It is part of their primary ministry and calling. And but one of the key things as the Holy Spirit works, as you're loving, living in the fruit of the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit works, sometimes the Holy Spirit works and we don't notice it. We're what? Distracted? What? Too busy? Maybe knocked aside by something of the evil world that we live in? Well, if we continue to wake up and adjust our souls increasingly, we will notice and cooperate. Notice and cooperate. Now, I mean, literally, we could make a list of another 30 or 40 lines here, but I want to make sure we've hit some high points, and I'm not going to do it all myself. Tell me a few more ways, as you think, for example, the book of Acts, how does the Holy Spirit work in you and through you? What to prepare for? What to cooperate with? What do you know about how the Holy Spirit works so that as the Holy Spirit works, you're prepared to cooperate? What do you got? You got some? Give me a few more. I've got plenty, but I want you to apply this. What are some other ways biblically that the Word tells us the Holy Spirit works so that we can cooperate with that? Conviction. Excellent. Okay, that is really high on the list. I put down, John 16:8 convicts of sin. Cleans out. Write that down. It's very significant because it prepares your soul, your being, to flow in much greater power. John 16 is one place. There's lots of other places. Romans 8 says, if by the Holy Spirit you're putting to death the old wicked deeds, you will live. Okay, the Holy Spirit helps us, convicts and cleans out. Okay, what else? That is, okay, good word, Paula. It is sanctification. Actually, that is one and the same. It convicts and cleans out and then fills with this, right? That's what sanctification is. Okay, now, I just want to point you to think in a couple directions as you think about the book of Acts. What do you see? How do you see the Holy Spirit working in the book of Acts where there are people distressed and downcast, broken, tormented by the devil in many cases, distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd? How does the Holy Spirit function as regarding that? Guides us. Let's just put down here. I could tell you 10 stories out of the region of the world that I'm totally immersed in, or I could tell you 10 stories out of the book of Acts, but he guides us off to, let me just say, he guides us, and let me say, to key people. Think about, I mean, that happened in my life personally, and a whole people group got opened up to Jesus with my wife with me that had not had a chance at the gospel for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries until somebody was humble enough to walk in the Spirit and guided to key people. But think of Acts 8. You know the story in Acts 8? They just had a great breakthrough in the city of Samaria, and Philip is undoubtedly tired and happy and walking slowly back to Jerusalem, probably eating a sandwich or something, or pita bread that they had, whatever. But you know, he kept cooperating with the Holy Spirit within him. You know what happened on the way back south to Jerusalem? You know what happened? The Holy Spirit intersected with him twice. You know what happened? The Holy Spirit said, Philip, I love you. It's been wonderful already, but you need to go down that road to Gaza. Oh, yeah? As it's really clear. And he was listening. Not only that, he gets down on the road to Gaza, which is like a 70-degree angle from the way he was going to go. I mean, you're coming down towards Jerusalem, and he went off at an angle like this instead of going home to Jerusalem. And he's out there somewhere 5 or 10 or 15 kilometers. And what happens then? What happens then? This is really significant because it's going to be happening more and more to people like you. You know what happened? You know what? Who spoke? The Holy Spirit said what? It's this guy in that chariot. Go up and talk to him. It's this guy. That kind of thing. I understand that. The more humble and broken you get, the more receptive you are to not missing stuff like that. Philip, he said, the Holy Spirit said to him, it's this guy in that chariot, go up and talk to him. And it opened up to a key person who was prepared for salvation. Philip helped him make a full decision for salvation, got him baptized, and he was a key person into a whole new circle of people. What whole new circle of culture and people was he going back to? Where was he going? Ethiopia. And the historical record is strong that it's one of the far out places that has very early records of a Christian presence and breakthrough from the middle of the first century. And when other places didn't, because Philip listened to the Holy Spirit. Take that locally. You will be filled with power when the Holy Spirit has come, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so, including in your Jerusalem and Judea, do you know there are big circles of pagan, broken, hopeless, often even demonically oppressed in some cases, people in big circles of pagan circles around us in this county right now? And too often, the body of Christ functions inside its own circle and reaches other people that are already saved or semi-saved. which I'm happy for that. If they get full of the Spirit, that's great. But, you know, the Spirit of God is yearning and longing to break through into those broken down circles, and it makes me cry sometimes. And it takes people in the body of Christ who will be like Philip and will go on to a different road that you haven't been on, you know, and into a circle, and you get close enough to them that they'll hear the gospel from you, and they'll get forgiven and filled with the Spirit and set free from the oppression of the devil. That's going to be happening more through people like this because the Holy Spirit is within you. Okay, that's really deep on my heart. I knew that would come up this morning somehow in our little working. Okay, a few more, and then we'll stop. A few more. How else might the Holy Spirit work? What's that? You mean Paul on the road to Damascus? So yeah, the Holy Spirit broke through to him, right? Because he was humble. The eyes of the Lord roved to and fro throughout the whole earth. And let me just say one application of that. Helps us in effective prayer. Have you ever been so burdened for some broken down situation and some people that are desperately in need of grace and redemption that you run out of words and you don't even know how to pray anymore? Well, thank God, says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we don't even know how to pray, we don't have words, but he prays for us with groans too deep for uttering, like Hannah in the book of Samuel. And a whole breakthrough happened for the children of Israel because of her groaning in prayer. So, helps us in effective prayer. It says the Holy Spirit prays through us. You let the Holy Spirit pray through you when you're burdened for something that you can't seem to get a breakthrough. What else? A couple more yet. What's that? Encouragement to people, yes. Encouragement and comfort. Okay, he comforts us. Encouragement and comfort. He's called the Comforter. To us and through us, right? To others. And one just came to my mind. Let's see, what was it that I want to make sure? Oh, more than one time in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, it makes it really clear that the Holy Spirit gives you words of Jesus. Did you know that? I could tell you a number of stories out of my own life in deeply intense situations where I didn't know what to do, and suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, some words of Jesus came to my mind. And that's exactly what it says in John 14, when the Holy Spirit is filling you, he will take what is mine and give it to you. Or when you're in front of an authority who's hostile and mean, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak at that point. One time there was prayer going on here just a couple years ago, and other people were leading in the prayer, but I was sitting back there and I realized the Holy Spirit said, just tell that precious brother your life by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is now filling you, and he's going to rebuild the ancient ruins, and he's going to raise up the former devastations, and he's going to repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations, and you'll be called the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. And he looked up at me and he said, that was what my past was, and I hear it. That's what my future is going to be. Basically, that's what he said to me, and it is happening now. Do you remember that day? John 14. So be open to the Lord giving you words of Jesus that are needed, that break through like hammer breaks a rock. Your human words sometimes don't go. Is there another one you just about to have? We're going to close then. What's that? Freedom and healing. That's a good one to see. That's all. That's in all of this. Okay. You get, sometime, if you want to, or do it your own way, but you could do a fascinating study of just at least these 50 times in the book of Acts from chapter 2 on where the Holy Spirit speaks and does. Oh, I do want to mention, for example, in Acts 13, you know what the Holy Spirit said in Acts 13, 2? There was a group of people together, probably not even as big as this right here, and the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me these two for the ministry that I've called them to, because there's important things to be done. Remember that story? It says the Holy Spirit said that because they were listening. They were humble and listening. And they got called out into a very fruitful ministry. It was Paul and Barnabas. Set apart for me. So that's not the only place it says. See, what did you say? Freedom and healing, right? Okay. And calls out his people to key ministries. Okay, we're gonna close now this equipping time. There's one other song beside the one that I focused on that I'd like us to close with. It's an old song. I hear that it resurfaced out of Wilmore, Kentucky, and a dozen other places earlier this year. And it's a good one for us. So join me in this one. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. See, that last line says, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living. You're saying, yes, I'm going to cooperate. I'm going to welcome. I'm going to be open. If stuff needs to be cleaned out so that I can be fully open, I'm going to cooperate with that too. I will say yes, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And let's sing it one more time. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Do you not know that you are now a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in you? With thanksgiving, yes, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Austin, come up here. Let's pray together. I think we need to pray, if you will, all of you, pray a prayer of agreement that you say, yes, I will be fully available. I will be, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Could we all stand together? I'm sure the Lord's leading you somehow, Austin, with your anointing as to how to pray here. I want to pray too, but I want you to pray somehow or lead this quality group of people in prayer. Do you have a sense what you're to do? I thought you did. Okay. You go ahead.
Each of us, we've been brought into a holy place here, a revelation. And I think the one thing that I keep hearing that I'm going to do and I encourage each of us to do is each day when we wake up, we ask the Father, what does it mean to have you in me today?
Yes.
What does it mean to have the hope of glory in me today? How does that impact my decisions? How does that impact my relationships? How does that impact my reactions and actions? So, Lord, we thank you for your word. and for your willingness to lay down heaven, to come to earth, to allow us to experience you within us. Father, would you not prevent, or would you not, would you keep distractions away from us?
Yes.
So that we understand more and more each day what it means to have you in us, with us, working through us.
Yes.
To impact those who don't recognize you. To transform us to look more like you.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you would seal the revelation,
yes,
that Emmanuel is in us.
Yes.
Would you seal this, Lord? Let it not be stolen away.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Seal it. Seal it, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful circle of people and all whom they directly influence. And all who are connecting with this, either live or in the future, we pray for them to fully welcome, to fully cooperate. We authorize, in the name of Jesus, I authorize you to fully cooperate with the Holy Spirit within you. It's a win-win. And dear brothers and sisters, you'll be blessed because you will be more alive than you've ever been as you cooperate. But many others will be blessed too. Many, many others will be blessed that the Holy Spirit is yearning to break through to. It's win-win. So Lord, I pray that win-win upon this circle of people, and I thank you for them and the quality of what is happening here. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Amen. Go and walk in that.